Secretary's ready?
Secretaries, it looks like.
We have a request today.
Might work.
Okay. Good morning and welcome to the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission meeting of Thursday, July 27th, 06. Madam Secretary, may we have roll call, please?
These are here.
Yeah. I need to mention that the I think we have all the secretaries from the county here today, and they're starting a new software program, and hopefully that it'll be a benefit to them in the future, but they ask for our diligence today to keep things fairly slow. If we rush something, they may have to ask us to do it again so they get it. So they're in a training session, and hopefully it'll work out for the best when they learn the program. So we're glad to have you all here and hope that our meeting helps you do that. I'd like to announce I'm dressed a little differently today. Usually people say they're going to Disneyland, but no, I'm not. I'm going to try and get to the Mid-State Fair that's going, and today is Ag Day. So if you've never been to Ag Day, you really ought to go. The cattlemen do all the cooking of the beef. They usually have beef short ribs at noon, top sirloin in the evening. Some of the wineries are going to be there pouring their best wines. You can have wine tasting in between. Farm Bureau helps out with the serving. The cattle women help out. 4-H is there, the FFA. And it's just a big day for ag to try and get the Mid-State Fair, which is supposedly the backbone of the fairs, are supposed to be the agriculture that's produced and all the other things that go with it. So I'm hoping that I can make the evening meeting.
So is it worthy of note that at least one member here is the agriculturist of the year? What were you last year?
No, it's a couple of years ago. I was the agriculturist forget what year it was.
But it was a worthy honor and a well-deserved one.
I see in the paper this morning they have the three selected from the wine group. Doug Filipponi was one of them. The other two, I didn't know the other two. I don't remember their names, but they're in the TNT. And then tonight the agriculturalists will be announced. The cattlewoman and the cattlemen will also be announced tonight at the after the dinner. So anyway, that's the big day for agriculture at the Mid-State Fair.
And it's cooling down.
And yeah, it's only supposed to be 95, so.
It's been better than 113.
All right, anything else? Public comment period? All right. Next, planning staff updates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree. I think that is going to increase participation tonight because it is significantly cooler, I noticed, this morning. So. The first thing, just a couple things to report. The first is a true planning staff update where I think you're aware we had a division manager vacancy as a result of Kim Murray. She resigned recently to move over to an equivalent position with the city of San Luis Obispo, and we were sorry to have her leave and going to miss her. But we have gone through a recruitment process, a very vigorous recruitment process, and I'm pleased to report, though, that Chuck Stevenson was just selected to replace her, and he will actually, we're shifting our duties a little bit, though, and he will become the new long-range planning division manager, which is what I used to do, and then I'm shifting over to where Kim was in our public information and technology division. Mm-hmm. So you'll see him later today, probably at 11, replacing me, and then he's here for a presentation as well. And then the second thing I wanted to announce is that the department is sponsoring, actually together with Public Works, an open house on the first Thursday, so it won't conflict with your meeting, the first Thursday in September. And for members of the public, that's September 7th, and it'll be in the evening, though. It's a little bit different. We're trying to focus as part of our communication plan. We're focusing in this first quarter on customer service, so we're trying to open up our doors and show off some of the new features we have, particularly on our website. We now have people can obtain some of the minor remodel permits over the web and actually have a permit issued in a matter of actual minutes instead of waiting for several hours and traveling down to San Luis Obispo. So I'll have more information on our website about it, as well as direct mailings and in your boxes, of course. But it'll be on September 7th in the evening from 5 to 7 p.m. with refreshments. We'd certainly encourage members of the public to attend and hope we have a good turnout.
Okay.
So with that, that's all I have to report on planning staff updates.
All right. Thank you. Any questions of staff? None. All right. That gets us to our consent agenda. What's the commission's wishes? It's just one item, it looks like.
If there's no public comment, I'm ready with a motion.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Anyone from the public wish to comment on the consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission.
And I move approval of the consent agenda, which are our minutes of Thursday, June 22nd.
Yeah.
I'll second that and add my thanks to the staff of the planning department for getting these minutes back to us in a time that corresponds roughly with my memory of what happened on those particular dates.
I agree with that, Ed. Thanks.
Okay, any more comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Now, it's currently zoned residential suburban. The proposed project is to rezone 2 acres of residential single family and an acre and a half of open space. This requires that we amend the Salinas River area plan, and the result would be an increase of density on this site from 6 residences, 3 primary, 3 secondary, to 14 residences, and the open space of zoning over the Salinas River corridor. Our site is here, the blue. It's a little finger of residential suburban, and that is surrounded by residential single family. This map hasn't been updated, but this area to the north is residential single family. As you can see in this map, we're residential single family to the north and to the south, residential multifamily to the west, and open space and residential single family to the east. It's a sliver of RS. It's in the urban area of San Miguel. It's served by community services, and it's close to downtown San Miguel and the Lillian Larson Elementary School, seen here in blue. Here is a overhead shot of the site and the surrounding area. The site is fairly clean. There's some ornamental landscaping here where the existing house is. There's some willows and riparian habitat in the parcel that will be zoned open space. Excuse me. There are some considerations about this general plan amendment. The environmental document came out for was done for the general plan amendment and the subsequent tract. The general plan amendment came up with no impacts at all. The impacts for the tract will be discussed later, but they were typical San Miguel impacts, Kit Fox, archaeology report, and that kind of stuff. The general plan amendment is consistent with the goals, the elements of the general plan, and the site meets the purpose and character statement of residential, single family, and open space. With that, staff is recommending that you approve this project and adopt the mitigated declaration in accordance with CEQA. Thank you.
Staff, I have one quick question. In the negative deck, you show the open space is 1.4 acres in two different places. In your report this morning, you said it was 1.5. On your written staff report and advertised, you say 1.6. So I'm kind of curious which one's right.
I'll calculate that out. I have it here on this map as 62,850 square feet, and as soon as I calculate that out for you, I'll come up with the exact answer.
Okay, that's...
Well, the negative deck says 61,681. Yeah. Might say approximately 62,000 or something.
Okay.
With that.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from commission?
Yeah, I had a few here.
Okay.
I'm looking at page 17, which is your item 6. You're discussing slope and other terrain characteristics. And at the last sentence there is, state the steeper riverbank will be located where the half-acre existing residential unit is located and in the open space portion of the site and will remain unaltered. And you essentially say more or less the same thing in the project description over on page 116. So that leads me to believe there's going to be a residence in the open space parcel, and I thought we couldn't do that kind of thing. And is that going to make some non-conforming use or...
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear in my staff report. There is a proposed lot for an existing residence on the site that is within the residential single-family zone. And then there's the open space parcel. So there, this area that gets steep is near the residence that is in the single-family zone and continues on to the open space parcel in the Salinas River.
But the there's going to be no house, no existing house in the what we're proposing to make open space?
No, there will not be.
And was that correct? You couldn't do that?
You are correct. There's, in general, sometimes we'll make a standard for an exception for one house, but not in this case.
Okay, and then the other thing I was reading in the negative declaration, page 123, cultural resources, and you're describing the setting. You're saying the proposed project site is located within an area historically occupied by the Obispo Chumash and the Southern Salinian Native Tribes, and going to describe what you've done. But on page 19, Senate Bill 18, on your Senate Bill 18 discussion, you say you went and you sent a notice to the Salinan Tribe. I would have thought if we got the Obispo and the Chumash and the Southern Salinan, we'd have both for both,
and is final for both at this point.
It's final for the general plan amendment, and you'll have another opportunity to final it for the tract map when you review the tract map.
Okay, so in approving, assuming approval of the mitigated negative deck, we are approving what's printed in our staff report today as such as it pertains to the general plan amendment. You'd indicated in your comments that there were zero impacts identified in the simple change of land use category. And is that typical of a general plan amendment? I mean, basically, until something is actively proposed for a particular parcel, simply changing the words on the map really don't amount to impacts. Is that what we're getting at here?
Oftentimes when we do a general plan amendment, we don't have a project on
right.
the books. In that case, we generate planning area standards to address some of the potential environmental impacts with the general plan amendment. In this case, we do have the project. It is submitted. It will go forward once we get final approval from the Board of Supervisors on this general plan amendment. So that's why we can say we can evaluate the impacts and know what they are and not require the planning area standards to later evaluate it.
Okay, I mean, I can understand that the general plan amendment is put forward. I mean, it can decide that there are no special planning area standards, and that seems reasonable because we're inside the urban reserve line surrounded by other residential single family. But I'm a little bit hesitant to tie a particular approval of a general plan amendment to an environmental document that I would like to be confident that we're properly assessing the environmental impacts of the general plan amendment and not putting something off on the basis of a project that's in place it's in process right now but may or may not be approved. So I just want to make sure we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's on this.
I think we are, and if you notice in the environmental document, it segregates out mitigation and impacts for the general plan amendment versus the tentative track.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that we can make that determination. If a project was to come in that didn't meet this description that we've reviewed in this mitigated negative deck, then we would require an additional mitigated negative deck.
I think the argument that persuades me is that basically this was zoned for residential use. It's being recategorized again for residential use. The impacts with the setting aside of the open space probably I can be comfortable with that. The only other question I had was in some place in here I saw a letter from San Miguel on the matter of their will serve letter, and they were in the RMS system has indicated they're in a level 2, and they were thinking that in order to put this into place, they needed 10 more acre feet of water. And I'm sorry, I can't put my finger on it right this minute.
Would that be 157?
Yeah, and that would probably be it. That was the one written to the San Miguel. But the basic idea was that they would need to find another 10 acre feet or something like that, and they were in the process of developing a well that was going to produce that. And the question, that last correspondence from them was something like a year old, and I wanted to see if we had an update on how they were coming in terms of securing that water and whether we should proceed with this until that was known.
I did not make a phone call to verify whether that well was completed. However, I can assure you that that will be tidied up before we go through with the track map.
Well, they'll need a will serve letter, but again, you know, again, in terms of making this change of density where we're increasing the potential build out of San Miguel, and I was trying to. I'm sorry that I can't put my finger. I thought I had it nailed down here, but.
Well,
anyway, I'll let that. Let me let that slide if we have public comment.
All right. Yeah. Anything else? Any other questions? If not, I'll go to public comment, and the applicant is first.
Good morning. My name is Scott Stokes with Above Grade Engineering, 1305 Marsh Street, San Luis Obispo. Just want to thank staff for their efforts on this, and we'd like you to approve the project. Okay. If you've got any questions, we're available to answer them.
Any questions of the applicant?
No.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? If not, I'll bring it back to the commission.
Do we have any more discussion? If not, I'm ready with the motion.
Yeah, I don't have to let the public know that you know, I think one of the things that the county will probably be thinking about here are development fees to help us pay for the many improvements that are going to be required to actually implement this decision. Mm-hmm. I thought that might be helpful for the people to know.
All right.
Congratulations.
Yes, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and with that, I'll move that we adopt the resolution recommending to the Board of Supervisors that, one, adoption of the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of CEQA and the Public Resources Code, and approval of land use settlement LPR 2004-0010, as shown in Exhibit LRP 2004-00010A, based on the recommended findings listed in this report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any more discussion on the motion? If not, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Rappa?
Yes.
Commissioner Gibson?
Yes.
Chairman Milskow?
Yes.
And could I just add for staff, in how much further down the track is the tract map? Are we another?
This has to go to the Board of Supervisors for final approval. That will happen in September. 30 days later, the zoning category is effective if the board chooses to approve. And after that, the tract could be heard. And I believe we'll probably schedule it shortly after that.
Okay. We just make a note for staff on the tract map. I found it in your mitigated negative deck that as of the resource summary report of 04, San Miguel CSD can support 125 new residences, and that getting them out of the level severity 2 is going to require a new well and a storage tank in 05-06. And so before, you know, as part of that tract map, if we could nail down that that's actually happened, I think that's a key aspect of actually going forward with the tract map.
All right. Thank you. Next, Madam Secretary, we have announcement for item 2.
Hearing to consider a request by King Ventures for a conditional use permit to allow a commercial...
item 2.
Oh, sorry. Hearing to consider a request by Don and Joni Ducey to amend the Salinas River Area Plan. County file number G030012M, Supervisorial District 1, Cami Griffin, Project Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. This is a request to change from residential rural to commercial service. This is an aerial of the site
obviously done in the summertime because it's all brown. The larger site is the 75-acre site. The smaller site shows the 7.5-acre site that's requested for change. The original request was to change 25 acres of the 75-acre site, so the yellow that you see was the original request at the board. However, the board authorized this, directing staff to look at limitations on use relating to the existing agricultural operation, and that a reduced site be looked at. Ultimately, this is what's being requested, 7.5 acres of 75-acre site. It's adjacent to the Caltrans yard in the PF category, directly to the south. There are a number of planning area standards proposed. This is a little different from the last one you heard because we don't have a specific project that's being reviewed at this time. So on your page, 2-7 through 2-9 are the proposed planning area standards. They deal with limitations on use, screening of any structures or access roads, and noise mitigation for the adjacent residential rural existing zoning that will remain. With that, staff is recommending that you recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the negative declaration and approval of the general plan amendment in accordance with the exhibits.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bob. It's
Mr. Marshall, I looking at page 240 and 241, and which is Caltrans's response, and you seemed rather serious, but in the evidently, your office's analysis and the negative declaration didn't seem to think that was quite that serious. So could you talk a little bit about the traffic impacts of this? And also, the Main Street interchange abuts this, and there's plans afoot for that. Do you know what this somehow be involved?
The improvement of the interchange, the specifics of that have not been finalized yet, but the area that's being set aside in this configuration is sufficient to accommodate anything we might need.
Okay. Going back to your first answer, you said that the plans for the Templeton area include the capability to take care of this project. Could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, the
we're not going to need any traffic lights or associated with this.
We're
business.
Not going to need anything other than what we're already planning for. The change of this property from one category to another produces a change, but it's small enough that it doesn't trip the threshold for needing to add anything to the list we already have.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, several questions, actually. First of all, Ms. Griffin, the 300-foot setback, I understood, was for visual mitigation and noise and a number of other things not related specifically to the logistics of circulation. Am I got that right?
That's correct. It actually was not in place for any kind of circulation. It was really there for visual and noise, and also to try and match the existing category that the Caltrans yard is in, try and mimic that as a mirror image on the subject property.
But there was a substantial discussion of the visual impacts that,
yes,
that the rural residential zoning there was meant to try to act as a community separator. It's a
it's a
tough battle to try to separate Templeton from Paso Robles. but it was pretty clear that the rural residential zoning was there specifically to do low density development in that what little is left of that separator. I guess the other couple other things. One of them, in your staff report, you mentioned an enforcement action that's
yes,
underway. And touring, you know, viewing the site yesterday, there appears to be a yard similar to the use that you have that's set back further than 300 feet and on the other, quite a ways away from where this 7.5 acres is proposed. Could you detail what the nature of that enforcement action is?
The yard is what the enforcement action is, and the idea that the applicant has is to relocate the yard to this area to then legalize it. And the applicant or their representative can probably fill you in better on that than I can.
So this general plan amendment is meant to legalize an illegal use, essentially?
Yes, it is the way that this applicant is choosing to resolve an enforcement action.
Okay. At this point, I think that's all the questions that I have, and we'll hear from the applicant.
A segue from Commissioner Gibson's question, you know, the operations, I understand it is sort of an ag-related, you know, cart about a bunch of wine products or grapes or whatever. Would that be allowed in the ag zoning?
It would, but it was determined that the yard as it exists is actually closer to a contractor's construction yard rather than an ag processing use. But strictly the ag processing would be allowed in ag.
Well, I mean,
but this is residential rural.
Right, I understand that. I understand that. But to my recollection, prior to the Salinas River Area Plan, this was rezoned from ag to RR, and the applicants could speak to it. I don't know if they were. I don't think they petitioned for that. That just kind of like happened, and okay. So I can understand why. You know, and this has been owned by the same family for generations, yes. And you know, I can understand why they ended up with an ag, kind of like business in ag land.
And oh yeah. Well, Commissioner Rose is reading my mind as to questions that I was going to defer. Was that use in place when the property was rezoned from ag to rural residential?
I'm assuming so. It's
okay, maybe we could hear and
the applicant could tell you more.
Okay, and the other question that staff may help us with is at what point did the enforcement action come forward? Did that come forward under its ag zoning or under its residential?
I suspect rural? It was under the residential zoning. I can do
okay. So if we could find out about that, it'd
sure.
be good background.
I think the applicant can explain that. Any other?
Yeah. I just have a little bit of a follow up question. In your presentation, you said that there really isn't a project. I guess I don't see it that way because it is the relocation of the.
We don't actually have that application in today, so there's no application.
Oh, okay,
that
so
we can respond
there isn't an application pending.
Right,
but we sort of know what
right.
the application is.
Right.
Okay.
Different from the last one where we actually had an application for a track map that's being reviewed.
Additional AM and PM peak hour trip and the recommendations of that traffic study said that they would be required to pay the Templeton Road improvement fees, and that was ample mitigation for our traffic impacts. As Ms. Griffin indicated in her presentation, the genesis of this application was driven by a code enforcement action, and I believe, although Cammie can probably clarify it, I think the action started around 2003. Our application was submitted in 2004 and authorized by the board in 2004. So with that, they were operating since 1988 under the ag land use category. The Salinas River Area Plan updated, changed it to residential rural. The trucking operation has been happening, and as we know, code enforcement is driven by curious neighbors wondering if that's an allowed use on the site, and I think that's what triggered the code enforcement. So the Ducey's contacted us to get an application and to bring the site into conformance. And so what we're looking at is the general plan amendment. We've got a two-step process here, different than the previous application before you, to get the general plan and zoning consistent and some planning area standards in place so we can apply for a subsequent use permit for the trucking operations. We didn't want to get too far down that path of preparing elevations, building plans, putting that energy in there until we secured the proper land use and the land use designation to move forward. And I do want to touch on the evolution of how we've got to where we are. We did start with a 25-acre portion of the site from residential rural to commercial service. At the board authorization, they did look at reducing it and limiting uses, reducing that area. We reduced it to 15 acres with the line going up to Theater Drive. And then once we received the results of the visual study recommending some setback for the commercial-type structures, we moved that line back 300 feet to be consistent with those recommendations. I would like to point out for the record that portion in that 300-foot setback is still residential rural, so we want to have the ability to do uses compatible with the residential rural land use category within that setback. So I think that's very important to note and for your board to understand. Based on that, I don't know that there's anything else. I think I've answered some of the questions. I'm available for more questions if you have them at the time. And the Ducies are in the audience and can answer questions if you have them.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I've forgotten, is there a cluster standard as part of the residential rural?
Yes, there is. That is the existing planning area standard for a cluster.
So eventually if they did, through some mm-hmm. foolish move on their part, remove all those vines and get rid of that wonderful vine, and made a cluster project, you know, that could end up being open space and the houses back some other place. Or
right, and a compatible use that I have in my mind that could happen on the future that would make sense would be an ag processing facility with a small tasting room, because we do have a significant amount of grapes on the site. So that's the kind of use that, if one would happen, that we could probably foresee in that area.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Apparently not. Thank you. You'll have a chance for closing remarks. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak on this project? Seeing none, I don't imagine you have anything else you want to add. All right. I'll bring it back to the commission.
So going back to the... So now we know it was started in 1988 when this was in fact ag. So, and as I recall from my memory, back in 88, there was probably a truck operation that obviously got bigger, more successful. Are one truck operations like that allowed in ag?
If they were related directly to the ag on the site, yes, they would be allowed.
Well, I presume
when they start to change to become either related to other things that are off-site or expanding beyond the agricultural nature, that it would be an issue. But it was probably fine throughout the time it was designated ag, and when in 1996 it was converted from agriculture to residential rural as part of the update, I suspect that's when it became a problem, because contractor yards are not allowed at all in residential rural.
Okay, so kind of explain that. I think one can see how this kind of morphed into something that wasn't appropriate, and this looks like a reasonable way of dealing.
And then that's where I think that our discussion ought to center, is what is the proper way to deal with this non-conforming use. I have a great deal of trouble supporting this general plan amendment on a couple of issues. One, that it is a general plan amendment as a means of correcting an enforcement action. Now, granted, that use had been there for quite a long time, and I guess one question to staff is why it couldn't continue as it does as a non-conforming use. Specific idea behind the nature of choosing land use categories for that particular part of our county. I'm struck by the productivity of the vines on site. I mean, it's a tremendous, it looks like a tremendous vineyard. And I guess I go back to wondering why it got zoned out of agriculture, because it clearly is a productive piece of agricultural property. I think that putting that commercial service, chunk of commercial service, starts the inevitable pecking to death of that community separator. I mean, I know there's a piece of commercial service near there. I would argue that that's an inappropriate zoning according to the policies that are on the books. But I would submit that if the land use change, if the land use change to rural residential is to stand, then that use becomes inappropriate, and a trucking operation should find a piece of commercial service property to relocate to. It's not been demonstrated to me that there's a lack of commercial service zoned land in that part of the county to accept that particular use. So, the alternative is, it would seem more reasonable to me would be to rezone this thing back to agriculture where it properly stands, and see if the uses on the particular site, which I would point out are further away from the highway and less visually intrusive than any relocation of that might be to line it up with the other property line, would be a preferable approach. And I would further note that the relocation of that yard is going to take out 7.5 acres of productive vines.
True, but if I know the Ducies, they'll put them back in. I've seen them ripping out vines and putting new ones in as the new varieties. You know, to me, this is a classic example of what we can do to protect ag. This is not that they're got this commercial business to transfer Walmart's products in and about. This is a commercial business that is ag-related, and it's ag-related because the family is ag, and they've been there for generations. I see the grandmother of the gentleman who runs it is in the audience, and she and her husband have grown grapes there for years, and the family lives there. And true, you could go across the street, Ramada Drive, and probably find some commercial service property, but gee whiz, that's going to cost some money. They already have the property, and it makes more sense where they can have their trucks on their land where they live, and there's no one messing around with them in the middle of the night. There's a certain security to having your trucks a little bit closer to your home property. Rather than across the freeway someplace. So I think this is something that has adequate standards in place. The land use is limited to ag processing, ag accessory structures, that sort of thing. You know, it makes sense. Now, I hear what you're saying about the community separator. You're right. There's not much of a community separator between Paso Templeton and that beautiful vineyard is one. We're still going to see it.
Well, we're going to, you know, let's take back and look at the longer view, the mission that we're here on, the Planning Commission. I fully appreciate, you know, the struggles of agriculture and the fact that a trucking business in addition to agriculture can be an important adjunct. But the question is, protecting the specific parcel and this family's interest in it and correcting this issue that's been brought forward through an enforcement action. And you have a separate set of issues which are planning for the county. And we go through a whole lot of work to indicate how we want land use to be organized in this county for a number of very important goals, which include the preservation of agriculture, the separation of communities, maintenance of the aesthetics, and also the function of different enterprises within this county. What I'm concerned about is more on this other side, that this change of land use actually threatens this vineyard by making it commercial service the norm on that side of the highway. I think that it adds to the domino effect. I think that a one step down that slippery slope was taking that parcel out of ag and putting it into rural residential. That's an intensification of use. Right.
Normally, I would agree with you if this land was owned by a bunch of a variety of landowners. You make an exact case, but this, because it's been
the essence of planning, it is the balance of the community.
Normally, I'd agree with you.
Well, I think that we really have to stand up for this idea, even though it might cause some difficulty on an individual basis. I think that's our charge here, is to make these decisions in weighing individual versus community interests. And I wonder why we have to go through this particular path, which poses a certain set of risks down the road. What else we could do to legalize the existing use in its existing place, which I think, for a number of reasons, is much preferable to what's being proposed as a change. And I would wonder with staff what else could be done. I mean, the board authorized this general plan amendment. You know, the scale of the use that I observed, and from what I'm hearing, you know, it is, doesn't seem inappropriate with where it's located. I mean, if no one had told you, you would have think that that was just the shed on this 75-acre vineyard and a couple of trucks parked outside. So I wonder if there's another path by which that the development that's there could stay. I mean, I would love to see this rezoned to agriculture. I doubt that's going to happen. But I think starting to cluster commercial service zoned land near the freeway it's going to be the death of that piece of land in the long term.
Mr. Chairman, I can just offer some information. The use that the applicant is doing on the property is only allowed in the commercial service and industrial land use categories. So the use itself would need to fundamentally change to fit within the agriculture land use category if it were to go back to that, and probably would not fit at all in any use category that was allowed in the residential rural land use category. In 1996, what I put up on the screen was the planning area standard that was applied when this was converted from residential rural from agriculture. It is within the Templeton Urban Reserve line. It is not in the rural area of the county. And as you can see, it's adjacent to residential rural land that has already been subdivided in this area. And this is the commercial service piece, and this is the Caltrans yard, the public facilities piece. And you can see that when the board made this change in 1996 as part of the update, they required the clustering, required the open space, so that as viewed from the highway, you would still have the idea, the feeling of the community separator. And in addition, they required that any additional density over the density that would be allowed by agriculture would have to be purchased through the Transfer of Development Credit Program. It's one of the few mandated sites for use of TDCs as a receiver site. I did want to show you that at the time of the conversion, I believe that the board and staff were trying to find a solution. This is urban, you know, within the urban reserve
and
line.
We can argue whether that was a good move or not, and this is all well and good. These are all good standards for the development of rural residential. I like the TDCs. I like the clustering, and so, et cetera, and so forth. But we're contemplating yet another step down the slippery slope by putting commercial service in there. And now you've got two pieces of commercial service. And so what happens when the next general plan amendment comes forward? I know for a fact that part of the support for carving off another chunk of commercial service up next to the highway is going to be that it already exists. And I think that as a planning agency, we have to resist that. I would urge the department to do everything it can to get what I consider a legal non-conforming use rectified without threatening the kind of strip development that's just going to blend Templeton into Paso Robles as Paso Robles is almost blended into San Miguel. And pretty soon, you know, from Atascadero north, we're going to have nothing but commercial service up against the highway. So,
you know, my greatest fear is that they're going to get out of the farming business. They're going to carve that thing up into a bunch of 5-acre lots and cluster it some way so we comply with the standards and buy the TDCs and poof. Yeah. But now
that's what they're allowed to do today. That's what the plan would allow them to come forward on an application today.
And man, that would be, it would just hurt my heart to have that happen. So I want to do what I can to help the family stay in business, and hopefully the following generation can continue to do that.
Absolutely. Can't be done. And just you're getting the point that I can't support this solution. I think there might be other solutions, and I would hope that we could try to head that way.
Well, I can see I'm not winning this argument here, so I'll try a motion here and simply the staff recommendation.
But Bob, could
we all comment? You two had a great conversation.
Oh, well, I'm waiting on you.
Staff, I have a question. Don't you have a requirement in here for screening? I thought I saw it, but I can't
my finger on it.
Yes, as part of the planning area standards, anything that's visible is required to be screened 80%.
In 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I thought, and I couldn't locate it right now. Okay.
And there is a limitation on use standard. It doesn't allow for the full range of commercial service uses, which is quite extensive. It's mm-hmm. it's a very reduced... mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
But it does allow, if I'm reading the staff report correctly, even with the limitations, a number of uses that are quite different from what we all can say isn't an application, but it is an application.
The only thing that is actually that there really isn't. The construction contractors is part of the yard. The outdoor storage yard is also would be part of the yard, as is vehicle and freight terminals. Those are all uses that would capture what's being done on the site currently.
If I'm reading on page 216 and 217?
No,
it would be 2-8 or the proposed planning area standards.
If I'm reading the description of the project, or it's a general plan amendment, and I'm looking at what the description is and the allowed uses under that, am I reading that incorrectly?
No, on 216 and 217 are the definitions of the uses allowed.
Correct.
Ag processing, ag accessory structures, caretakers, crop production and grazing.
Offices.
Offices, and again, have to be subordinate to the use of the storage yard, but it's a way to allow them to actually have an office there. Currently, they wouldn't be able to establish any kind of business office. So again, it's really a trying to recognize all of the pieces of that use that's there right now.
Okay. All right. Any more? Is that it?
Well, I think that both of my colleagues make very valid points. It's awful to refer to history, but I can remember when the propane place down the road closer to, on Theater Drive, closer north of that, was because it was a good guy, as the commissioner from the district said. I think we would all consider that probably an incompatible use with what's there today. I am really torn on this one. I think it's unfortunate that we haven't been able to work with the applicant to make this work, because I'm not convinced that this is the appropriate change that should happen there. But we started this whole process. I mean, this mm-hmm. is just...
The Board of Supervisors yeah. started this process.
Yeah. Well, true. The Planning Commission's this with the change of designations. And in a way, you know, as you well know, you know, people do expand their businesses as economics require, and I think that's part of this.
Yeah.
Again, I think... there are a lot of valid points why this shouldn't proceed, and yet there are some that say it should.
Let me ask staff why was it considered to carve out 7.5 acres in that spot as opposed to simply changing the land use category on the existing developed site? You can see the overhead is on the other side of the property.
Yeah, I wondered about that also.
In all honesty, I have to say that it was really based on the request of the applicant. As I said, this was the original request for the 25 acres, the whole front of the property ownership. The property ownership is the dark green. The light green is outside of their ownership. Mm-hmm. And the board responded to that by saying, look at a smaller area. And so... ultimately...
By the way, while she's got that map up, look, see what RR, the commercial service, GPA in progress?
That's been continued, and I, without prejudicing my decision, I would have the very same concerns on that, which is also an enforcement action, which is also an attack on the community separator idea. So,
okay.
So just a little preview. Okay. Just so we can rewind this conversation. But I think it's an important point because we go through this planning process. And I guess one of the questions I have is how much land is
the commission would like more information from the applicant.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Don Ducey and my wife, Johnny. And we live on the subject property. And whatever questions you have, we'd be glad to answer.
How big of a footprint does the existing bunch of trucks and stuff take up now?
Right now on site, it's probably 2 to 3 acres where the shop is. The shop is for the vineyard. And then I have, we're allowed to have one truck there right now with the traders for whatever vineyard use. And we had, we moved the site over by Caltrans because where we were at right now, we figured the complaint came from the houses next door. So we're trying to get it over to a commercial area.
Trucks go in and out of that road because of Caltrans and the lumber yard. We're having our trucks go out of the middle of the vineyard, which if you drive down our road, you see that every vine along our road is covered with dirt, which hurts the vines. So we assumed that because we had an issue, a neighbor had, you know, called and said they did not like the trucks coming in and out of the yard. Nighttime, Mike sometimes has to leave at 1 in the morning. So we went to the road where there's already trucks going in and out of that road that addressed the neighbor's complaint, plus the vines are better off without the trucks going by them anyway. So that's the answer to why that site was chosen.
And if this GPA was allowed and you moved over to there, would you replant the existing truck space now with something?
Well, that truck space there is for vineyard, for the tractors and whatever equipment we need for the vineyard. I mean, yeah, we replant as much as we can, but we still need space for the vineyard operation.
And to further that answer, that's where when we haul our gondolas in, we need that space for the forklift to unload the gondolas into a truck because it's at the center of the vineyard and it's flat. Where going to the road wouldn't be enough space to probably do that part of the operation during harvest.
And this is the harvest of your very beautiful vineyard.
Of our vineyard, yes.
Okay. Mr. Ducey, what percentage of your trucking operations are non-winery related or non-ag related?
Probably 5%. We haul wine and grapes, finished wine, bottled wine, for most of the wineries in the county.
So 5% of the total amount of your trucking?
Yeah, it's non-ag related.
But
well, it's ag-related, or
it's not related.
It's not related to that particular
the ag on site.
Oh, to the vineyard.
But it's all related to vineyard operations.
Could I also point out, because I think a question was addressed on why can't they relocate their yard? We actually are renting yard space and have been since this code enforcement for $4,000 a month, which we will continue to do. We immediately moved all the trucks to an industrial park in Paso Robles. We're paying for that. We'll continue to pay for that. All the trucks are gone except the couple that have to come into our yard and leave from our yard. So renting space elsewhere is already being done. This other spot is to help enhance what we have in our home area. The trucking operation has been moved, basically.
So I'd say that we've tried to buy several parcels that are zoned correctly, but they will not give us a use permit for trucking in the city of Paso Robles.
I'm sorry, but I'm still a little bit confused. The area that you're looking at or requesting a rezoning for is for your own trucking operations of uses related to your own agricultural activities?
Well, part of it is, but the majority we haul commercial. My son does.
If I may jump in, I think what we were looking at this is, as a lack of a better term, would be a satellite office for the trucking. So they have the ability to have the office for the trucking on site, which could potentially be consolidated with the office for the vineyard. So consolidating those office operations and then have the ability to have, you know, 6 to 7 trucks on site, not the full bulk of all the Michael Ducey trucks you see out there, but enough trucks on site that would help to just consolidate some of their business, and then it would just be more practical for them. And one suggestion I may have, because I sense that the commission really wants to have this happen for the Ducey's, but as Commissioner Gibson stated, he's afraid of the domino effect, what happens in 40 years if somebody else owns the property. When we're looking
to the neighbors to the north, mm-hmm. and that's where the complaint comes.
Right.
It was an honest complaint, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And they don't like the truck engine starting up at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's probably what they're probably complaining about.
This would move it over to the commercial, where there's already commercial on the other side of the property. And there are no houses there.
My concern with doing that is that, yes, that patch of 7.5 acres zoned commercial service with a lot of use limitations is fine, but you look on a map and there it says CS. And you got another CS right next to it. And you got a third piece of CS under application right now. And I don't think, knowing how things go, and again, I understand the frustration of us looking at a different time scale and for a different set of issues and concerns than you have personally. But I think that the precedent setting nature of that is a very serious possibility. I really think that opens the door for a fundamental change in what is a piece of property that's used and managed and zoned the way I think this county should be used, managed, and zoned. And I'm trying to figure out where we can go to get the problem solved without setting the precedent that concerns me here. And I don't have any other idea at this moment as to what can happen.
Well, I did hear Mr. Ducey talk, or somebody mentioned that maybe construction contractors wasn't an absolutely necessary need.
That's fine, let's see if they
agree with that. What if we scratch that use out as a possibility? Because construction contractors, one thinks of a drywall operation or plasterers, with all their stuff that they need to store.
All we're looking for is a place to park some of the trucks and some of the trailers with an office to
run it
out of.
And vehicle freight terminals and offices, storage accessory, outdoor storage yard seems to capture that. Am I right, Ms. Griffith?
Yes, it would. And so you could actually delete construction contractors and add in the word incidental in front of offices, so it's clear that it's not going to be a medical office building, although I don't think that's allowed in that category.
Would the Ducey's be amenable to that? I'm trying to get another vote here, too.
Okay. What was the question?
If it would allow us to have the trucking operation there, yes.
Right. Well, I've just heard staff say that if we got rid of construction contractors as an allowable use and added incidental in front of offices, that would still allow you to have your trucks, to store the trucks there, and truck accessories, bins or tanks or things that are associated.
That's all we're looking for is just, we don't want to do any commercial development whatsoever. We've had the vineyard for 60 years there, and I hope it's there for another 60 years.
And I do, too.
Because we've been offered an obscene amount of money to sell the place, but I like living there. I like the vineyard. So.
And we hope Michael continues to live there.
I want to add I know that you're in planning, but just I want to address, Mr. Gibson, your comment, because, of course, this can't be personal. I understand that. But we have three children. We're at this point the third generation on that property, and our three children, we have a daughter making wine, hopefully to put in a tasting room. We have a son marketing for her, and we have a son to haul. So my three kids are in the wine industry. They have bought into their home and their legacy. So I know this happens every day, and you don't know what tomorrow brings, but there are no plans to do anything but take care of what we have in the best way we have, and to do it legally. That started this whole thing, is that yard has actually been there since 1945. It was a grape pit, and it's in the exact same place today that it was in 1945. The world has changed. The zoning keeps changing. You know, it gets harder to make a living. So we are trying to be legal in what we're doing, and that's all we're really trying to do here.
And Johnny, am I correct in assuming you didn't ask for the residential rural land use category?
No, actually, no. And my father-in-law said that front piece used to be commercial years ago, and then it was changed to ag and then RR. And it, you know, we get a letter in the mail and tell us what we're zoned. There's nothing beyond that. So,
because really, I attended every single one of those Salinas River area plan hearings, and you were never there, nor was anyone from your family asking for that. And it
no,
was ag, and
oof,
they get a letter in the mail.
No, and again, I appreciate your...
We sit back and listen that we can't change that 7 acres because there's the fear that when you actually try to take the old vines in the front to work on your overpass, we have to sit and listen to that.
Right.
Those are old vines from 45 that you were talking about getting ripped out to help the overpass situation. And we're sitting back hearing, well, we don't know if we agree they should do what they're doing in the back of their ranch. And also, the next sentence, you're saying it might jeopardize what you want to do with the front of our ranch. So I just want you to hear the whole situation
yeah.
that we're listening to, that things keep changing around us, and we just, I guess,
yeah.
want to protect ourselves.
And perfectly reasonably so. And it's maybe I should be clear. You know, these the wheels of progress grinding forward causing these changes are difficult to come to terms with. I appreciate that. But at the same time, you know, being in agriculture myself, I look at that vineyard and I think, oh gosh, that is what this county is about, and that's what I'd like to see staying there. So the question is, how do we keep that vineyard there? That's the policy of the county general plan as it stands right now, is that separation, is that open space, is productive agriculture. And again, I'm trying to come up with the longer view of this. I know that rezoning a chunk of this to commercial service, solves the problem in the short term. But is there some other way? I can't quite come to doing that. I just tell you honestly, I can't quite come to doing that. And given that the main part of the trucking has moved off site, is there not something we can do with, again, what has already been carved out of the vineyard or was established before the vineyard was planted to try to legalize the uses there and make it work? Maybe the biggest irritant to the neighbors has gone away with the bulk of the trucking being moved, and I'm hoping that maybe we could, again, my pitch would be continuance to work on this to come up with whatever we needed to do to make it work on the existing developed site.
But again, you heard when they drive their trucks to and from, the dust is hard on those vines, so if there were no rules at all, they would probably have put their trucks next, a little bit closer to the freeway.
Couple things. Paving, yeah, or the fact that you're going to be driving to that, you're driving at least 300 feet into this commercial zone, you got dust if it's not paved, affecting those vines.
There's an existing road, a paved road to get to that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the discussion out to the broader thing here that may be more difficult in the short term but more satisfactory in the long term.
All right. Have we got all our answers from the applicant?
Yeah. And thank you for coming back.
Thank you very much.
And
with that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to try something, see if it works here. I'll move that we recommend that the Board of Supervisors adoption of the negative deck in accordance with applicable provisions of CEQA and the Public Resources Code, approve this general plan amendment as shown in attached exhibits G030012M, A and B, based on the recommended findings contained in this report, and made two changes on page 28, planning area standards, limitation on use, we're scratching construction contractors, and adding the word incidental in front of offices.
Is it? Okay, I'll second that. Any more discussion on the motion? If not, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner
yes.
Nesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Gibson?
No.
Commissioner Rappa?
No.
Mr. Chairman, since this is a general plan amendment, actually a 2-2 vote just gets reported to the Board of Supervisors as no action by or no recommendation by your commission, so you don't have to reach a majority today okay. on a general plan amendment different from the conditional use permit.
How come that wasn't good for Diablo Canyon?
Anyway. Type of land use
okay.
permit.
Okay.
Could I ask one of the commissioners, would they be amenable if we cut it down to 5 acres? Could I get another vote if I went to 5 acres?
No. To me, it's a principle matter. Let me float the idea of let me make a motion to continue this to the earliest possible date certain for staff to work with the applicant on what might be done to legalize uses around the currently existing developed site within the vineyard.
Well, I guess...
I'll second that for discussion, but I'll probably vote no, but...
I'm sorry, I was thinking and not
That's
listening.
Fine.
Go ahead. No,
no,
please.
It was a motion to continue, and we can fill in the date here if we want.
Okay. So, anyway.
Well, and I'll ask staff, I presume you've already done that. I mean, you didn't just think of one solution and let it go at that, did you? I mean, you probably talked around a little bit.
As I said earlier, the tough part is that the use that they want to do on site.
Motion before. Right. Call the question.
Thank you.
Please repeat the motion. I didn't...
Continue.
The motion to continue to the earliest date certain for staff to work with the applicants on possible solutions.
To a date certain?
We have to do it to a date certain. The question that I had, and I'm sorry to bump the call the question, was that if it, you know, the question of whether the applicant would consider a rezoning to agriculture, whether that makes sense within a urban reserve line, but again, the special case, whether they would be willing to work on the specific uses that would be contemplated for the non-vineyard part of that site to see if agricultural zoning could get where they need to go on that.
Okay, was there a second to that motion?
I seconded it, but I'm not going to support it because even if we're ag, now we're going to have 5 acres, 7.5 acres ag in the middle of something. I would suggest somebody would say, spot zoning. To me, this looks like the right way, direction to go.
All right. That's actually called the question.
Looks like we're ready for the question. We better have roll call on this motion.
I got it.
Commissioner Gibson?
Yes.
Commissioner Rose?
No.
Chairman Milskow?
No.
Commissioner Rappa?
No.
Now I'll ask Ms. Rappa.
The problem I'm having is, and I do, I don't understand this, how we can justify taking out productive ag for freeway overpass, and it is needed.
Yeah.
I'm on that all the time. I understand that totally. I also understand how it's not appropriate to personalize general plan amendments. Got a long history with that one. Just seems like there's got to be a way to make this work in a way that we can. We're here to advise the Board of Supervisors by just coming up with nothing is basically what we've unfortunately come to, where we are. We aren't really doing our job.
So I'm asking you to consider going...
Well, I'm not sure. What difference does 5 acres mean?
It's making it a little bit smaller. The footprint is a little bit smaller. The precedent-setting nature of it is a little smaller.
Well, you know, in all honesty, the problem is not, unfortunately, the agricultural activities. It's the fact that these properties are zoned residential rural around them, and they would be probably even more incompatible with ag. Because people all of a sudden don't want the uses that ag brings.
And they,
sure
they'll tell you, they do get complaints from that. But
it's just ridiculous.
It is. So let's give them what they need to help them stay in the ag business.
Well,
I think what's more important is let's try and recommend an appropriate land use with limitations that we can support.
Well, and I tried to get that, but did you have any?
Do you have any
that you could help us with?
Could you help us with that?
Well, if you believe that the size we have CS adjacent to the frontage road, we have it. To me, it would be more appropriate if it was a smaller parcel. Again, we have PF right next to that.
Mm-hmm. So 5 acres, then. That's smaller.
You know, I hate
and
this
hearing the
kind of planning.
Say
this
they're okay
not
with five?
Okay. Try a motion, then.
Okay. I'll make the same motion with the exception, which was to adopt the negative deck and approve the general plan amendment. And my changes this time would be, I don't see where I can actually, the same limitations on use that are on page 2-8, except we remove the construction contractors, add an incidental, and add a, help me out, staff, how can I turn this into 5 acres from 7.5? I guess I modify figure 104-58 to a 5-acre piece rather than the 7.5-acre piece.
Yeah, you'd actually be modifying exhibit GO30012M:A that's on your page 2-6 to reflect 5 acres instead of the site that's shown.
Okay, and I'll leave it to staff and applicant to carve out which side could get smaller. Okay, that's my motion.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Rose?
Yes.
Commissioner Rappa?
Yes.
Commissioner Gibson?
No.
Chairman Milskow?
Yes. All right. It's 10 after 10. It's time for our break. We'll be back, reconvene at 10:25. Item number 3, please.
Hearing to consider a request by King Ventures for a conditional use permit to allow a commercial shopping center consisting of 6 buildings. County file number D020142D, Supervisorial District 1, Martha Nieder, Project Manager.
Thank you, Commissioners. Martha Nieder, County Planning. The proposed project is located at the intersection of Heritage Loop Road and Lake Nacimiento Drive. It's in the commercial retail land use category, and the proposal is for a commercial shopping center consisting of 6 buildings of approximately 33,000 square feet, 13,000 square feet, 4,500 square feet, 3,000 square feet, 2,200 square feet, and 1,400 square feet. There's also approximately 4,000 square feet of gas pump area and 210 parking spaces. The project will result in a disturbance of approximately 7 acres of a 10.6-acre site. Here's an aerial of the photo of the area. It's a little outdated as there's been a school constructed across the street here. Cappy Culver School opened in 2005. And here's the site plan of the proposed commercial center. And here's an enlarged site plan. The site has been envisioned for a commercial center since the 1980s in order to provide services to visitors and residents in the lake communities and to mitigate the traffic impacts that are caused by needing to drive into Paso Robles for services and groceries and gas. Here's a picture of the site. One of the major issues with the property is the visual impact from Lake Nacimiento Drive, which is a designated scenic highway. And what you can see from this site is that Lake Nacimiento Drive is over here, and there is some slope here that helps to hide the development. And although there's some slope, the development will still be visible from Lake Nacimiento Drive. In order to help mitigate those impacts, the project does not silhouette against the skyline, and it also incorporates rural features and kind of barn forms in the development, which you can see through this series of elevations. Here's the elevations for the main market, and then the different buildings through the site. As you can see, there's articulation on all sides of the buildings, and the buildings face the street as well as the interior parking areas. There's a gas station. And then here's the color board, which you can see the colors are subdued and reminiscent of barn or agricultural type buildings or colors that you'd see those buildings of. Also, the development is set back, the 500, the required 500-foot setback from Lake Nacimiento Drive, and there's a significant amount of landscaping. And I'd like to bring your attention to the landscaping here within the scenic setback. And this landscaping is going to is for two purposes, and one is habitat replacement, which I'll discuss later, but another purpose is for the visual effect. Because the site doesn't have a lot of vegetation, putting a commercial area in with significant landscaping would look kind of odd. It would almost make it stand out a little more. What this landscaping does is help to transition into more landscaping and helps provide a better kind of buffer area for that. The other major issue is the existing wetland located in a drainage that crosses the site, and here's a picture of that drainage and another picture of it. The drainage actually cuts through the middle of the site, comes along here, straight down, and then this is Track 1990, which improvements have recently been constructed for. There are drainage facilities here that the drainage passes through. Because the drainage passes through the site this way, there is no feasible way to avoid that. So what the applicant proposes to do is to tie into this existing drainage facility and then put replacement wetlands in this area. And they're required to do a minimum of a 2-to-1 replacement, but also be consistent with the required permits from the Army Corps of Engineers and other agencies. So if they would require more, they would need to do more replacement area with that. And then here's their landscaping plan. You can see there's revegetation and wetland replacement plantings in there. In conclusion, staff recommends approval of the project in accordance with the and adoption of the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
How much water this is going to use?
They are in agreement. This is kind of just a catch-all for, you know, at the time that it comes in, they're not holding themselves to anything until they actually give the final letter for serving.
Okay. And the last question I had is for Public Works. On page 3107, we have the referral to your department. And at the beginning of your little comments down at the bottom, it says, twice we have stated that driveways need to be aligned with those of the school across the road. And as I looked at the project, it don't look like it is. So did you guys give up on that, or are we going to move the roads, or what are we going to do?
Move the school.
Move the school. Okay.
Jill Ogren, Public Works. I don't really have an answer for you on the driveway at this time. I don't know the history on that. I would assume that we're still working on that and will when the plans come in. Martha, do you know anything further on this?
And the applicant may be able to shed some light. I know they worked closely with Public Works. What you can see from this is that the way that the driveways for the school were actually constructed, it would be impossible to line them up as the driveways come up off-site. So I believe that in response to the Public Works' referral response, they worked together with the applicant to come out with a solution since it was impossible to line up with the driveways.
Okay, and hopefully they'll tell us what that solution was.
Well, I believe you're looking at it because this is the site plan that was a result of.
Well, then, to me, this logic would dictate that, you know, the two driveways would intersect to make like a cross. And
doesn't 3-7 doesn't 3-17 indicate that?
3-17. Mm-mm. No.
Are you talking about the driveways across on the
other side? The driveway that leaves the school Looks like it's 40 feet or so away from the driveway that leaves the project.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I'm sorry, I thought you were back out on Nassimino Lake Drive.
No, I'm on Heritage Loop Road. But maybe, as Public Works thinks about it, they can tell me if this solution is going to work or it's going to be a big mess.
Well, in looking at this drawing, the school seems to have a sort of a loop driveway, one entrance here and one entrance in the, I guess it would be to the north.
Right.
I'm not really sure how you could line up all the driveways. I'm guessing that based on circulation, this is the what we came up with that was the best solution for the commercial in relation to the school.
And this Holly Drive, you know, that, to me, look, if I was starting from scratch, I would, make a road that goes, or a driveway that goes exactly across from the school, and something would go into the project, and something would go into, would morph into Holly Drive, but, you know, I'm not starting from scratch, and they probably don't own that land. Maybe that's somebody's house.
Right. I think what the challenge is a lot of this, Track 1990 was approved in 1990. The school site was developed by the school district with some consultation with us, but we weren't able to dictate the design of their circulation. And then this site had already been established long ago, even prior to this track being approved. So we were working with kind of an existing situation and trying to make the best of it circulation-wise.
All right. Thank you.
Chairman Melskow and other commissioners, we have actually a couple additions to their conditions that kind of got left out, so I'll hand these out to you.
Okay. Any other questions of staff?
Yes, please. Unless Commissioner Rapp is ready with some.
No, go ahead.
On your front page, I noticed that land use category here is commercial, retail, and residential suburban. Do we have all the necessary use decisions in place?
A couple extra.
Exactly is the nature of what they're going to be asked to recreate. Do we know that, or is that...
The applicant does have their biologist here, Lindy Althaus of Althaus and Mead, which I think could...
Okay. I'd appreciate a little filling in on, right, on the nature of a wetland in triple-digit heat, but that's... I don't mean to demean the idea here, but I am interested in exactly how, you know, I think it probably will end up to be a better deal if it's constructed, but I'd like to know what we've got there. It occurred to me, in terms of the landscape plan, somewhere in my memory, I thought the county had standards for shading of parking lots with trees. I had understood that 40% of a parking lot or 60% of a parking lot was supposed to be under trees. Is that included in this?
That is a requirement that they do need to meet. The landscaping plan, looking at it, probably doesn't meet it, but they would... Their final landscaping plan required prior to issuance of their building permit would have to show compliance with that.
So that's not something we need to specifically condition. That's a known fact of developing parking lots.
Let me look at what the condition actually... Condition number 4, which requires a revised landscaping plan where it refers to compliance with Chapter 2216 of the Land Use Ordinance, covers that. Also, 4E specifically calls out that 60% area.
So
you kind of cover it twice.
That. Okay. I'm sorry that I missed that. The next question there was... In terms of the landscaping in general, that's meant to screen the development from Lake Nacimiento Drive. That 500 feet, the SRA that defines that visual resource is only the 500 feet off of?
Correct.
Okay. And I wondered, in terms of describing the landscaping, the landscape, the condition is written so that the installed landscaping in that 500-foot strip breaks up the roof line, if I remember the actual phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Was it thought not that we want to put a more typical thing, is that it needs to screen X percent, 80% of the buildings from view from the road?
The visual study didn't come up with a specific percent for it, and I don't know. I would kind of just be guessing if I were to come up with a percent.
Well, I'm just saying that when we say we need to screen something, mm-hmm. most often we say, for instance, in the last project, we say it needs to be 80% screened or something that's quantitative, something that you can come and say, yes, that this has been adequately screened. And let me put it out for a point of discussion with my colleagues as to whether some more quantitative measure of the screening might be appropriate in this. The other questions I had, again, in a little bit in the bigger picture look here, is there other commercial retail property zoned in this area?
No, there's not, and if Cami owns me. The only commercial retail area is down in this area, which that Linda Ritchie from the Heritage Ranch Homeowners Association could probably give a good kind of history of that site and maybe what's looked at for the future.
Okay.
Of that.
And then in terms of circulation, I think it's great that trips to Paso Robles might be reduced, but part of that depends on some connection of Nacimiento, is it Heritage Loop Road? And I wonder if we could show me exactly how that's going to connect in so that people don't actually have to get out on Nacimiento Drive to...
Not too clearly. Well, what happens is, and this has occurred with the Track 1990 improvements, which is this tract here. Mm-hmm. Heritage Loop Road starts here and...
goes there.
Okay. kind of continues down through and does connect.
Okay.
So there is internal circulation.
And so that improvement is under construction at
right.
this point?
Correct.
Okay.
Could I segue in? And I'm looking at the condition 22A or 22 that you're doing, which looks like it improves that. But I just heard that Track 1990 was doing that. Maybe Public Works could explain what the new condition 22 does.
Condition 22 basically states that Heritage Loop Road in fronting their property needs to be to road out there. I just don't know what the width is at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Gibson.
Okay.
Let me segue in there.
Then on the question of the drainage, you know, our typical conditions on commercial properties are runoff to be contained on site or, you know, contained, detained, otherwise mm-hmm. Limited. And I wonder if maybe Public Works or the applicant could speak to the general nature of how the drainage is going to be handled. I mean, I know the condition is going to be a drainage plan, but how's that going to work? Because it looked like what they're calling a wetland is actually a pretty significant runoff gully that's taking a good bit of runoff off of Nacimiento Lake Drive all that far away. It drains a considerable distance there, and I was just curious if the applicant can speak to that or Public Works, just the general philosophy of how that drainage is going to be handled. In particular, there's a reference there to avoiding or mitigating damage to wetlands downstream, and I'd be interested in knowing what the biologist might have to say about that as well.
Okay.
I don't know what the drainage plan. I think that answer would probably come best from the applicant.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any more questions?
I'll wait till the applicant's presentation.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go to the public, and the applicant is first.
Good Good morning, Commissioners. Rachel Covesdi, appearing on behalf of King Ventures, the applicant for this project. Just to quickly answer Commissioner Rue's question about the driveways, Martha, if you can put up the site plan, please. As a matter of fact, insofar as the school construction, as Martha indicated, proceeded with county input but not county approval, and since additionally these parcels were laid out years ago, basically, with the area plan, you'll notice that both of the Cappy Culver school driveways are actually, they fall outside of the boundaries of our parcel, which, as I think Jill kind of intimated, makes it basically impossible to line up with their driveways without taking out the, you know, trying to somehow take in the residential lots, which don't belong to us, or encroach into the open space, which also doesn't belong to us. So the northeast Cappy Culver school entrance is at our property line but would not allow us any room if we lined up with that one for any kind of a landscape buffer or anything else. So we would be paving up to and possibly across the property line, depending on who marks those corners for us. And then there's absolutely no opportunity, unfortunately, to match up with the southwestern driveway, since that's well off of our site, 40 feet to the southwest. So in a perfect world, absolutely, that would have worked out. It just didn't. As to the Heritage Loop Road condition, it is in fact being constructed as we speak. And that is actually being done by the developer of the 1990 residential component. But I think, as Jill referenced, this is basically kind of a another layer of protection that if it doesn't get constructed to the required section, that we will then step in and fulfill that obligation. So hopefully that puts those questions to rest. But in general, as I'm sure you're all aware, since the early 1970s, this area has kind of transitioned, blossomed, in some people's view, from a very small residential and mostly vacation area into a much bigger master planned community. And one of the very few drawbacks of the area, other than the last couple of weeks worth of oppressive heat, if you've been up there, is the lack of conveniently located goods and services. There is, in fact, the Heritage Ranch Country Store, which I'd like, actually, Linda Ritchie, if you feel comfortable, to speak to a little bit. That's a very small establishment. Was one of the first structures built out in that region, and is just a darling little store. However, currently, Lake Area residents are traveling into Paso. It's about a 25-mile round trip for very basic goods and services. The only gas station in the area is a very small operation, and again, with antiquated equipment run by the CSD out there. So the what we're calling now the Lone Oak Community Center that's proposed here today will bring those goods and services directly to Heritage Ranch and to the residents of the lake as a whole. The center obviously will blend in with the surrounding rural ranch and farming community. We've got projecting gables, deep overhangs, varying building heights and roof pitches, recessed entries, natural colors. So it's been sensitively designed from an architectural standpoint. It's also further enhanced with the landscaping, which is going to be include native and drought-tolerant species. And Andrew Merriam, our visual analyst, is actually going to speak specifically to proportions of coverage and screening and that kind of thing as well. And the site lighting, I think, is also another important component. It's been designed at the minimum level to establish good pedestrian and vehicular safety without bleeding over into the surrounding residential and open space uses. Let's see. Also, speaking of traffic, the HROA has voiced a concern about the road maintenance, which I'd like to address briefly. All of the residences within Heritage Ranch actually pay road maintenance fees, and so those cover all of the roads within the ranch. There is a small section of this Heritage Loop Road that accesses both the school as well as our site that is outside of the ranch gate and will therefore be publicly accessible. And so I think that perhaps there will be some discussions at some point in time about between the HROA and the county about that very small portion of the road. However, as Jill can attest, the section called out, it has been designed specifically for the school traffic and the commercial traffic. The traffic index has dictated that section of road, both in terms of the layout as well as in terms of the structural design. So hopefully maintenance will be far less of an issue than it is for some of the older roads within the ranch itself. I also wanted to talk briefly about signage because I know that 500 square feet of signage that we're requesting seems like a lot. Lord knows I've had apartments in college that were smaller than that. But Lone Oak is going to be a very small community-based center. It's going to have mostly mom-and-pop businesses, the market, and then 12 to 14 other smaller businesses. Because we're not inviting at this time large chains, well-known chains, to participate, these folks are going to rely on signage for their for all of their advertisement and just to get the word out that they're there. Just to put it in perspective, the 100-square-foot total sign area that's called out in the land use ordinance, less about 60 square feet for the entry sign, which will announce the center, which, and of course, is, I think, absolutely crucial so that we don't have people flying by this convenient resource and making the 25-mile round trip. Leaves for 12 to 14 tenants a sign area of about 3 square feet per tenant, which would be like that. The good news is that since this is not a strip mall scenario, since the buildings are well articulated, there are going to be businesses on all articulated sides of each building, you're not going to see a wall of signage. You're going to see these signs that have been incorporated both in design and scale and in materials with the rest of the center. They're actually going to be made from UV-resistant fiberglass, HDPE, and they're going to be sandblasted to look like wood, other than the market sign itself, which will be painted directly onto the building, kind of in that old-fashioned, sweepy market style. So we think that the sign, and I've got some more particulars if you have any questions about that, but we think that the sign plan is going to be very tasteful, and of course the signs have to be big enough to read because we want to avoid the fender benders that happen in parking lots when people are straining to locate the businesses for which they came. We also wanted to extend our thanks to county staff, Cammie, Martha, and Chuck Stevenson, particularly for his creative architectural input. The HROA and the entire population, actually, of the lake that has been so enthusiastic in their participation for this project over the past 4 years. I'd like to thank Ralph Allison specifically for keeping the residents of the ranch and the area informed of all kinds of goings-on, including this. APCD and CDF for their technical expertise and support. The San Miguel Joint Union School District, they brought all of their families into the discussion and have lent a great deal of support as well. And the HR CSD board and their director, John Dornelis, who actually said in his staff report for the time extension for the will serve that the commercial from very supportive citizens out there talking about the kinds of uses that they want. And, of course, this is going to be a dynamic process with the population out there. We're going to establish some initial uses based on their input. If those uses do well and are responsive to the community, they'll stay. If they don't do well and are not responsive, they'll be replaced with things that are deemed more appropriate or useful. But yes, the response has been just extraordinarily
helpful.
Quick question. I think I heard you mention that you don't own the open space, the 500 feet between the...
That's correct. That's been deeded to the Heritage Ranch Owners Association, and they've very generously given their consent for the open space plantings, all of the landscape and wetlands. And I think Martha, in Ms. Nieder's report, she actually mentions augmenting the open space agreement to kind of more clearly delineate the sorts of plantings, the sorts of uses that we'll be doing out there.
And I just then would follow up with staff at a point after public testimony and county council about mitigations and conditions that are actually attached to this project occurring on property that's not under the same ownership. Just come back to that at a point. The only other thought, the question that I had is in looking at what appears to be the lone oak on the project, just this side of it as you move toward the loop road, there's a fence, small fenced area on site at this point?
That's correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, that is on the open space parcel, yes, and that is a sales trailer for the residential section.
No. The big trailer I couldn't miss. This looked to be about a 10 by 10 by 10 small enclosure.
That is the SBC pad on the property that went in to serve the residential tracts, as well as, I believe, Track 1910, which is across Nacimiento Lake Drive. So that is our SBC facilities, and we'll just be working around them and incorporating them into with appropriate screening wherever possible while maintaining, obviously, their access.
And that's on your parcel?
That is on our parcel,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Any more questions? No? All right.
Thank you. Do you mind if I invite Ms.
Yes.
Miriam up?
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
Good morning. I'm Andrew Merriam, an architect and urban designer with about 35 years of experience in the county. And when I was asked to evaluate the visual aspects of it, it's always a pleasure to find a 500-foot buffer rather than something right against the road and you having to fight the screening. But I think you raise a very good question, Commissioner Gibson. What was the theory behind this? And It's a little bit more complex than might at first appear. I think there are two issues I'd like to weave together in arriving at the response that we did. First was that as I drove up and down the area and well aware of the scenic requirements of the Lake Nacimiento Drive, it became apparent that though this connection was going to be the community center visible to the community other than along the shore. I mean, you already have the school there, which is not particularly well screened, ironically. And then you have the proposal, the applicant. And in thinking about it, I felt that, you know, this is something that should be reasonably visible, not obtrusive, but somebody should be able to find this. It isn't like a residential thing that you want to wall off and hide. At least that's the approach I was coming from. So the intent wasn't to put up a solid wall or an 80% screen or something like that, which actually would be out of character with the rolling and oak woodland hills along the road, but rather to obscure it and make it gentle enough so that it was still recognized as a community center, but not obtrusive or out of character. And, of course, this area has changed character quite a bit. As you go north, you'll see the large estate lots that begin to occur on the right side of the road. So my concern, then, with the oak trees proposed in that open space was that it would obscure but be in character with the rest of the oak woodland. And the silhouetting was far more important as I started out thinking about this. And, in fact, you will arrive if they implement the landscape plan as has been proposed at a roughly 50% screenage anyhow. And that would be fine, and you probably could plant a few more oaks, but I would resist trying to get that walled in, we're hiding something kind of thing, because I think it would be out of character with the rest of the countryside, and if you were to come in with a lower story of something else other than the oaks, it would begin to look like a hedge or a wall or something, that would be not appropriate. And I think, frankly, they've done a good enough job with the architecture and the other conditions that Martha prepared, you know, the breaking up the buildings, the articulation, the cars, and so on, that I wasn't particularly concerned about it beyond what they did. So that's the short answer as to why I didn't feel necessarily get into, quote, screening, but in fact you will achieve it at 45 to 50%.
Well, my concern was mostly that we craft a condition that can be enforced.
Good morning. My name is Lindy Althaus. I'm the biological consultant working on this project, and I did the wetland delineation, and it wasn't in the middle of summer. I'd like to show you some photographs that help you
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah. I'll show you some photographs. This one was taken this spring on May 12th. It shows a photograph. Can you guys see that? How do you look at this? You
have to. We got a little screen right in front of us here.
Thank you. I apologize for my ignorance. But this shows Cappy Culver Elementary School, and on the left side of the photo is the location of the commercial center. The photo is taken between Nacimiento Lake Drive and the commercial center parcel in the open space. Next photo. The trees on the horizon are ones I want you to focus on when you go to the next photo that shows where the commercial center is in relationship to the elementary school. Would you hit the slide two more times? The trees on the horizon are still shown, and Cappy Culver Elementary School is in that location. What I want you to notice is that it's fairly flat in that location, in that open space. And next slide. The downstream, there's an erosion feature that has become or has developed wetland habitat down in the bottom. There's actually moisture that persists long into spring. When the rest of the grasses are turning brown, that area in the bottom stays green, and the soils in that area are actually hydric. Next slide. This is a view upstream back this May. And when you look at these drainages, our job is to make a determination as to whether or not, A, there's wetlands, and what kind of drainage and who has jurisdiction over this drainage. Next slide. The agencies are in the order of federal, the Environmental Protection Agency under the Clean Water Act, the Army Corps, who has jurisdiction under Section 404 of the Clean Water Act, and the Regional Water Board has Section 401. Next slide. The Fish and Game regulates stream beds and drainages, and this one's kind of marginal, but it does flow into a drainage that's definitely has stream characteristics, and so right on that edge is where we have to make a decision. Do we need a permit from the Department of Fish and Game? And in this case, the answer is yes. Your responsibility as the lead agency is to make a determination that this project meets CEQA standards. Next slide. The Corps' jurisdiction, and this is just for information because I see this often misunderstood, is on the right side. Section 404 of the Clean Water Act allows the Corps of Engineers to regulate disposal of dredged or fill material. Section 10 is part of the Rivers and Harbors Act, which is more of our coastal stuff that we're not considering today. The important thing is that the commercial center will require fill of that drainage that you saw. Next slide. The Department of Fish and Game regulates the vegetation that's associated with and the wetted channel. They have a much larger jurisdiction than the Army Corps of Engineers. However, next slide, this drainage doesn't have a lot of vegetation associated with the wetted channel except what's down in the bottom. So in this case, the Corps' jurisdiction and the Department of Fish and Game is about the same. Next slide. We went out and did the wetland delineation in February and March of 2003. This is a soil pit that was dug in one of those swales. Next slide. What we find in these drainages are areas of water that's still standing weeks after a rain has fallen and vegetation that only grows in these moist soils. The bottom right slide shows a little plant called water starwort. There's an alga mat you can't see. There's a Mediterranean foxtail barley that's associated with wetlands. And there's a toad rush, which is a wetland plant. Next slide. This is a close-up of that slide. So this is not tules and rushes and willows and kind of cool stuff where fish grow. This is a very seasonal wetland. So in July, it doesn't look wet at all. Next slide. When we finished the delineation, we flagged it all out. North Coast Engineering came out and surveyed it, and the boundary is kind of a polka dot that runs along the school site and around the open space and around some of the couple of the residential lots that we actually delineated. And within that boundary, we identified the wetlands. And that wetland delineation was certified by the Army Corps of Engineers in 2003, and it's valid for 5 years. Next slide. When we looked at the proposed commercial use, there was no room on that project for on-site mitigation. So if they were going to impact this little wetland, we'd have to mitigate somewhere in the area, and we like to stay in the watershed. Well, of course, my eyes start to scan that beautiful little open space next door, and I asked Rachel, I said, do you think the Homeowners Association would be interested in some little pools created out there, and there's an elementary school that's going to be developed over there. Maybe we could come up with some nexus where these little seasonal pools could have an educational benefit for the kids. The Army Corps thought it was great. Next slide. And the Homeowners Association has accepted in concept this idea. Right above Nacimiento Lake Drive, which is that little white stripe that puts the Nacimiento Lake Drive at the top and Heritage Loop Road over on the left side. And it shows the topography and how the little string of pearls is what I'm calling these little frog ponds to line up so we can receive the sheet flow. They can flow into one another, and then ultimately they will drain down into the subject drainage that flows through the commercial development. And on that note, a little side note, in order to obtain 401 certification from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the commercial center will have to filter all the water that flows, drops onto their commercial site. They will have to have some kind of fossil filtration, and when they have engaged a civil engineer to come up with that concept, I will make sure I work with that person, or they won't get their 401 certification from the Regional Water Board. Next slide. So looking back at this landscape, right now the site is inhabited by primarily non-native Mediterranean upland grasses. How do I know we can get wetlands there? Next slide. In the last 2 years, there's some tire rut wetlands that have formed right near this project site that wasn't there in 2003. So I know it can happen in a couple-year period. Next slide. When I was out there in 2003, there were some funny little puddles that had formed where people had gotten stuck or they'd moved some dirt around, and there's standing water long after the rains have passed. And some of our toad populations only need a few weeks of puddled water. Next slide. We're looking to create habitat for the western spadefoot toad. Next. Not that we have to do mitigation, but a spadefoot toad has the little spades on the feet to help them dig down in. Next slide. There's two more in there, Martha. The fat tadpole on the left is the spadefoot. The black, smaller one is the common western toad. On the far right is the spadefoot toad. Now, any kid that I know loves toads. And I used to be a school teacher. And I just think this could be really fun. Next slide. Two more, please. This one is the common western toad that most of you have in your yards that has the little white eye stripe between his eyes. Both of these are compatible. I found them both together in a variety of different sites, and I really hope that this works, that we can create habitat for toads that eat lots of things, including ants and insects that we'd like them to eat lots of. Next one, Martha. The concept is to create some little shallow swales that are probably no more than 6 feet. We may go up a tiny bit higher, but we want these to be seasonal. We don't want a place to grow mosquitoes. We want a place where we can get a lot of toad tadpoles. Here's a couple of examples of places where we have found literally thousands of spadefoot toad tadpoles. It doesn't take a lot of water. Next slide. What are some of the problems and risks? In 2003, wild pigs had come through and really done a lot of damage. That could be a problem. But because this area is being developed, I'm not seeing as much pig activity in these areas. They're after those little purple flowers, the brodeas, that make a little bulb, and they just root all over looking for those bulbs. Next slide. I used to teach school with Cappy Culver, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to develop a resource that has an environmental benefit and an educational benefit right next to this elementary school. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
Oh, yeah. One that just, where did them toads spend yesterday?
Where did they, down in gopher holes and ground squirrel holes for the most part. And it's actually fairly humid down under the ground, about 12 inches.
Okay. Now, the next more practical question. You said you're going to filter the water so some drainage comes into the property from upstream people, which obviously this project will have no control over. So what happens when some moron changes his oil and dumps it in the
In the parking lot?
In the parking lot, or, you know, and how does that
There's two issues that the commercial center engineer is going to have to deal with. One is the off-site water that needs to flow through the project, and the other is the on-site water that must be treated in its entirety. So the water that flows through that little drainage, and then it'll hit a little detention basin before it goes into a pipe underneath the development, the commercial center, that water is not going to go through fossil filtration. That's normal storm water that goes through that project. That will flow through, I would imagine, separately, and I'm not the civil engineer, but the water that flows onto the parking lots and goes into their DIs has to go, the drop inlets, has to go through some kind of fossil filtration. There are techniques to use where you put fossil filters inside each DI, and you can address those. And there are other more sophisticated systems that actually sort out the trash, the litter, the oil, and the solids that drop out before that water is delivered back into the system outside of the project.
And do they require a lot of maintenance? Because I'm sure you'll design something great and it'll be conditioned and somebody go out and check and it's built, but what about 20 years from now?
Fossil filters do require space for that water to go because we've got a little clay layer or sandstone underneath it. Then we'll start to see those ponds fill up. So usually is sometime between November and January, depending on our fall rains, when we actually begin to see saturation. When those pools would normally dry up would probably be sometime in March or April, or this year it could go into beginning of May.
The only other question I have is you indicated that you were on site in 2003.
That is
correct.
Was
that your initial visits there?
That is correct.
Wasn't the school already being built? The school was not?
No. Those slides that I showed you were from February 14th and March, I believe, 16th, 2003.
Okay.
I think there were some little white stakes out there, but the school was not being built.
Time flies, doesn't it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you, on one of your slides, do you have a delineation of the wetland resources downstream of this project that we have to be considering?
Only one or two parcels. And the wetland delineation was completed by someone named Lucy McMillan for the Track 1990 project and was reviewed by the Corps of Engineers. We were not part of that project.
Okay. And it's in our staff report, but could you refresh my memory on the Corps' requirement for seeing that these things are established and in viable condition ongoing?
In the mitigation and monitoring plan requires and obligates the applicant to maintain that to the Corps' satisfaction for 5 years. So they're looking to make sure that they really are established for the long run. So that's how long that lasts. The mitigation ratio, did you want that?
Well,
one
that's also? That's 2-to-1. Is that a negotiable?
2-to-1 for King Ventures and for Track 1990 commercial, but it ended up being 3-to-1 for the Track 1990 residential.
Okay, and that was
because they had gone in and done some work before they got their permit.
So there's a punitive aspect
that is
to
correct.
That, but it's a negotiable thing, and I seem to recall that we have some discretion in requiring that. Within the, have you worked with Mr. Miriam on the landscaping? It would seem to me that we're trying to reestablish oak woodlands on the one hand to screen the project and wetlands to mitigate.
Yes, and actually David Foote is doing the landscape architecture mm-hmm. on that project and definitely working very closely with David, and he understands that we don't want oak trees hanging over our little pond, so we need to scatter them around. It doesn't mean they can't ever shade them, but we have to have compatible uses out there.
And so how much of the strip 500 feet wide, how much is available for creating these seasonal wetlands?
I think the acreage, and I don't have it in my head, but we have somewhere around 5 acres to work with, and we only need 1.4 for everything, which is the little buffer areas, because the buffer areas will be planted with native grasses. So there's plenty of room for both of us, for the screening and for the wetland mitigation.
Okay.
In there.
And on one of your slides, you showed a trail circulating through those wetlands. Was that conceptual or is that conditioned?
That's conceptual and it's not conditional, but it will become part of our mitigation monitoring plan that goes to the Corps and the Regional Water Board, and that will be to maintain access for the kids and with signage and with some brochures so that the public and the kids will know what's out there.
So there's a whole interpretive thing that's contemplated as part of the 1990. I mean, that sounds like a great idea. And
yeah, it'll be
I'm
part
I'm
of
ready
the
to write it into a condition into this project if we can. I mean, what's the how's that coming together?
Do I have a nod? I think they're reluctant to have additional conditions, but it will be part of their condition with the Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay.
Okay. How many children attend?
I don't know the answer to that.
May I speak? At last count, I think it was approximately 325. Is that right?
I think that's
so. Oh, no, I'm taking that back. That's filled out.
I think it's like 80-something.
Yeah, it's much lower right now. It's 100.
About 80? Okay. Any more questions? All right. Thank you very much. Does that conclude the applicant's presentation? All right. Thank you. I'll go to the public. I have one speaker slip. Linda Ritchie.
Hello. I thought that was a wonderful presentation. I'm the general manager at Heritage Ranch, and I tried to jot down some things to answer some of your questions.
Okay, you need to state your name, please.
Linda Ritchie.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some drawings about 3 years ago on the concept of this commercial center, and it's been on display at the office of the Homeowners Association. And we've had numerous people ask us when it's going to be built, and I haven't had anyone in opposition to this project. You had asked, Bruce, I think, about a location out there, and just to clarify, there is a private parcel out there as well that is south of the commercial, the one that shows the school and the commercial center. The back in the 80s when the track map was approved, it wasn't a condition, I don't think anyone thought of it, but from Nossamail Lake Drive down to Holly Drive is really going to be used primarily for the heavy traffic that will be on it. It's going to be for that commercial center and the school buses. And when the school put their driveway in, the southernmost driveway, it caused an additional problem because the actual gate to go into Heritage Ranch, the gatehouse building that the developers in 1990 are going to put in, is going to be south of Holly Drive, which opens up Holly Drive to public without another gate there. And I'm not speaking for the developers, but I met with them. So what their concept at this point is to put a gate across Holly Drive as well that'll just be access for those people. But the question I had, and I don't know if Public Works would be willing to work anything out with us, is the maintenance of that 1,000 feet of road between the gate and Nossamail Lake Drive. I don't know if the county would be willing to take on any maintenance obligations of that. It's going to look beautiful for a while, but at some point it's going to need to have a maintenance program on it. And our revenue stream, of course, is simply the homeowners that pay assessments on that. And again, it wasn't something worked out, you know, back in the 80s, but it just seems with the amount of revenue that's going to be generated from that, and of course, reading the documentation, one of the purposes of this is to get traffic out of going all the way to town. And I'm sure this retail center is going to be used from a broad spectrum of population, particularly north on the lake community. So I don't even know if that's something that we're just kind of at the end of the line on, or if we could deed that one little section to the county, or what we could do there, and I don't know where to go on that issue. And just because I was here before and there was an issue that didn't involve us, but it was involving reflective roofing material, with the heat out there, I want to make sure that whatever roofing material is used, that it doesn't become a, you know, sun-generating problem for the people that live all around there, the reflectivity of that. Let's see. And paving of Loop Road, I believe most of that's bonded for, if not all of it. And I understood they're going to be paving literally any day. So they were wetting the road and compacting it this week. So we all look forward to that. And I think I tried to get all your questions. So thank you.
A question? I didn't quite get all this maintaining of Heritage Loop Road. If you could be so kind as to put that map back up that you had. So we're looking at the Heritage Loop Road, which runs down the middle of our screen here, from Nacimiento, and you're talking past this commercial center.
Correct.
So who owns that today?
We do.
Okay, and so you're maintaining it today?
Well, it's not, doesn't have payment on it yet.
Okay, but you are responsible. If a big ditch occurred there, you'd have to get a, do something about
yes.
it, right? And so now it's going to be paved because of 1990.
Right.
And looks like this project would have a piece of that maintenance, or not maintenance, construction responsibility also. But you'd like the county to take that over?
Right, and I shouldn't have said that particular section with your arrow is actually paved. The paving stops right above Holly Drive, I believe, at this moment.
Okay, so it's paved to there now.
Correct, and has been for, I think, a couple years.
So what are the what are they going to pave tomorrow?
From there all the way down to the connection of Heritage Road.
Okay, all the way to that.
And where is your gate located? I think that's the key issue.
Correct.
Here.
The gate, the design of the gate presently is just south of Holly Drive, right there.
So is your concern the area? I'm sorry, Bob, I don't mean to
interrupt
you. Is your concern the area between the commercial project and where the gate is?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I understand it now. Thanks.
Anyone else from the public? Seeing none, any closing remarks by the applicant? Or?
Well, I'd like to hear from the architect what he thought about this reflective roofing.
Oh, okay. Great.
My favorite. It's always been one of my favorites. Yes, so it is in fact designed because of Title 24 energy concerns as well as reflectivity. It is designed as a material that's non-reflective and matte surfaced and all that good stuff.
And so if they wanted to change that to galvanized steel, they'd be in violation of the of this permit because of the color board that you already have.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I just keeping up on that, you know, that was exactly the issue of reflectivity that we dealt with in Avila.
Right.
You may remember the Avila market had galvanized steel roofing that had to be treated. So we may be needing to put, since this color and materials board, as I understand it, is part of the record, and we are holding them to substantial conformity to this, or in fact, as I read the conditions, that the material shall be as stated in the color and material board. I think we need to indicate a condition that if galvanized steel is used on a roof, that it be treated so as to be non-reflective. It seemed that that could happen for galvanized steel roofing, where it couldn't happen for that other roof product that was proposed or actually installed in the lighthouse suites.
So, all right. Have we closed the public hearing?
I don't know if we did or not, but yes, we'll bring it back to the commission.
Everybody else got colored pictures, and I didn't.
Okay, they're in the middle of this package.
I didn't get a colored picture, but anyway, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, so Mr. Gibson is right. Galvanized steel can be pretty reflective, although this looks like a pretty shallow pitch there, and we're just talking about under the gas pumps. It looks like.
And the roof of the other building. No, you're right. Just the cover of the gas pumps.
Mm-hmm. So, you want another condition to do?
Well, maybe we should walk. Maybe we should simply start walking through the conditions and
works for
if
me.
If there's no other, I don't think
I have
any,
some general comments.
General comments. Okay.
One, I think this is absolutely. Going to be an asset to mm-hmm. the community. I've spent over 20 years going back and forth up there, and this is definitely needed. I'm sorry, but I kind of had to chuckle about all the wetland discussion and all because, and I'm delighted to see that the visual study reinforces what the area really looks like, and it's rolling hills with very scattered oak trees. It isn't. I actually am not in favor of introducing a lot of other types of screening or vegetation, because that is not what the area is. That is not what you see for miles and miles as you travel along Nacimiento Lake Drive. So anyway, I guess I just wonder about some of the things that we do sometimes. There's a lot of discussion about how the immediate neighborhood will be served by this commercial center, but I think in the long run, the entire lake community will be served well. I have to admit that in looking at the conditions, some of the conditions that I see by APCD, I think are ridiculous. I think when they talk about a home delivery, that's crazy. These houses are in homes and communities, and there are numerous communities out around the lake, are not exactly close to each other. I don't know. I think sometimes we just don't live in the real world. Anyway, I know that this center is going to be well received. I personally believe it's going to reduce the amount of traffic, especially the amount of traffic that is on Nacimiento Lake Drive, because a lot of people go back and forth to town, even people who are part-time owners or people who are there and are not permanent residents. Gas facilities, that's absolutely essential in the area. There are facilities inside Heritage Ranch. Most people who do not live inside the ranch don't go to them. The only other facility is actually on the lake, and I've always questioned how appropriate that is. So I know that these commercial activities and facilities will be well used by people both at the ranch and also in the existing community. The idea was that urgent care could perhaps be part of it, and I think that is going to be a real asset with the additional homes that are going to be built. And I'd be interested in staff input on how that particular section is going to be handled, because I do understand the need for the second gate. I do understand the concerns that those properties that take their access from Holly Road, and so somehow if we can somehow make this work, and maybe staff can give us some direction on that. I mean, we're talking about a small amount. I think it's a small amount of property, small amount of road that somehow needs to be maintained. I guess as a former homeowner dues payer, I understand the concerns of the ranch, too, that they have.
I think that's a question for Public Works as far as what they would be able to. Are you talking about doing some sort of a shared maintenance agreement with the HROA for this section of Heritage Loop Road before the gate?
I would think so.
Jill Ogren, Public Works. I believe anything is possible. I don't have the authority to answer whether or not we should or could, but definitely Public Works would entertain, you know, the thought of either the shared maintenance or possibly, I guess, taking the entire thing. But that would have to be for the Director of Public Works, though.
Okay. Well, isn't this project going to be part of the Heritage Ranch Association? So they'd have to pay dues and stuff?
Not the commercial center.
It's not. Okay. So what I guess is going on here is we have somebody getting a freebie from the Homeowners Association maintaining in the road that goes into their establishment. Is that kind of what we're dealing with here?
I'm not sure what is the conditions from 1990. What they required.
Well, 1990, they're part of the association, so
right.
They got to pay
right.
to go go to and fro.
And they are the main users of this road. That's my understanding. It's
I don't know.
Loop all the way around secondary access.
They would be, I don't know, this, what we're trying to determine here is how much this applicant would use the road. If he used it 10% of the traffic was his, or 50, or 1, or...
I think...
Well, if I could just add, the roads within Heritage Ranch have been offered to the county, and the county has not accepted them into the county-maintained system. I think what maybe this project is bringing forward is the time for the Heritage Ranch Owners Association to ask Public Works to accept into the county-maintained system this section of it. So I'm assuming that would be a process that they'd come up with some agreement for. And it sounds like at this point we just wouldn't have a determination on that. But it's
but we have a mechanism.
Mechanism for it, okay. Correct.
All right.
But the county would be nuts to take it in. Why would they want to add, no, you guys take care of it. You know, we don't want to spend taxpayer money on that. You're taking care of it now. Why? We're not going to bother. I'm trying to put words in your mouth, but I guess that's what you guys would say.
I'm guessing they would have to provide us some good justification to the Public Works Department on why we should accept that portion of the road for maintenance.
Okay, well, do we want to deal... do you want to go through the conditions?
It's really kind of a small... in comparison to the entire project.
Yeah. Do you want to start on Exhibit B and go through...
I don't have much to change, but I guess
I had just a couple. One of them being right on number one. The end of paragraph A talks about proposed uses include a market, fitness center, medical offices, and so forth. Are we meaning to condition this project to specific uses, or is that just a matter of information?
It's a matter of information.
Yeah. Okay. It ends with general retail.
Okay, so that doesn't. Uh-uh. That doesn't constrain them to those specific uses.
No.
Okay. In four, they talk about the landscape plan, and I'd like to, you know, pending some consultation with Mr. Miriam, it says that the landscape plan has to be consistent. The revised plan, being the revised landscape plan, shall indicate the following, and development shall be consistent with this revised plan. And among them is the planting of trees that, which when mature, will interrupt the roof line of the project when viewed from Nacimiento Drive. I'd like to go in there just to indicate that the screening will be consistent with the.
I don't know how many years, decades, the view from Nacimiento Lake Drive is not been all oak woodlands. It has been buildings. And sometimes we try and make things into something they aren't.
I appreciate that. What I'm just trying to do is craft a condition, and I'll refer us to our reflective roof condition that we discussed.
I know that one.
Just let's make a reasonable condition here that we can make a reasonable decision. And again, if staff has a standard way of approving landscape plans and that the language is good enough, that's fine by me. But I was hoping to gain some clarity on this condition.
Well, no, and I understand that. But I think also we really don't want to. We want people to know that this center is there. I guess I can't get across strongly enough how important this is to so much of the activity that goes on out there. I wish I knew some of the numbers as far as the daily counts and all that, and especially from May through September, October. You want people to be, at least I would think, I would want people to be able to see in plenty of time that this is an opportunity for them to stop and pick up whatever those which don't already know it exists.
Sure.
So I would be hesitant to screen the facility too much.
Well, there's item C there that says comply with the visual analysis by Mr. Miriam, so I'm wondering.
Right, that's exactly my point I wanted to make. Don't you think that, I agree, interrupt the roof line is a bit vague, but I think because Mr. Miriam sort of has veto power here, he says he would say yes, that's enough, or no, That's not enough.
Well, actually, I'd like staff to have the veto power, being that we are conditioning a project. It's the county's decision to approve or. I'm just seeking some clarity here. I understand the issues. I'm just trying to get around this interrupt the roof line. Just doesn't say much to me. If staff could comment as to how they, is this the specific, what we have on the screen now, is that a specific, trees are going to be planted in such and such a way?
Well, trees would be needed to be planted consistent with this, so it's not an exact representation, but just some proposed language to throw out there. And I just want to bring your attention to that. The condition doesn't talk about screening because in this site, we don't want necessarily screening. It is more to interrupt the roof line and interrupt the development. But some proposed language could read for B, planting of trees consistent with the existing oak woodland, which within 5 years would interrupt 50% of the roof line of the project when viewed from Lake Nacimiento Lake Drive. Landscape shall include at a minimum the planting of trees consistent with the preliminary landscaping plan, which is what you see on your screen. And what that does, and if you look at the landscaping plan, that 50% isn't hard to achieve. If you look along that side property line, it's, planting shown more for about 80%. But it's the interrupting of the roof line, not a full screening of the development, because as Commissioner Rapa pointed out, that would actually be more of a visual impact.
I understand that, and if that language is clear to staff and acceptable to the applicant, that would
Is that acceptable to the applicant, 50% of the roof?
I'd like to ask Mr. Merriam if he thinks 50% is a good number,
if the chair would
mean me. Andrew Merriam, when I mentioned 50%, I was talking about it at the lower level. I don't think in 5 years you could achieve 50% of obscuring the roof line. What I did mean, and I could have been a little more clear, was that the planting of the oaks that were called for would ultimately be of the kind that would go up and interrupt the roof line.
At maturity.
Sure. And you won't achieve that kind of maturity at 5 years.
That's fine.
But I think that just the specification of oak trees that would achieve the kind of height that would interrupt the roof line was really the intent that I had when I specified
that's
that.
Fine.
Okay, so just strike the 5 years. Is that the?
Well, I guess I don't have a problem with the way B is written. Then.
Yeah, I don't either. But
well, if you want to straw poll this? We can move on.
I like the idea of the planting of trees consistent with the oak.
I agree with that.
Okay, and leave it a go at that.
Okay,
that's
only.
Okay, that's fine. I'm for that.
All right. Any
other? Miss Nieder, did you grab that?
Yes.
What would you? Could you read plant B for us?
Planting of trees consistent with the existing oak woodland, which, when mature, will interrupt the roofline of the project when viewed from Nacimiento Lake Drive.
Perfect. I like
All
that.
All right. Good. Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on.
The only other change I have to that.
The wetland replacement area as well as the commercial area. And what it is the Owners Association signed the consent of landowner authorizing King Ventures to act as the agents on this land use permit. For the building permit, we would require the same thing. So if there needs to be a maintenance agreement, I'm sure that the HROA would work that out with King Ventures or whoever is going to implement this prior to signing the authorization to proceed with construction permits.
Okay, I guess I'm getting more confused then. As I understood it, this was commercial retail and residential suburban. You indicated that the residential suburban was the open space in the 500-foot section. The ownership is split or the ownership is not split?
The Heritage Ranch Owners Association owns the residential suburban portion.
Okay.
King Ventures owns the commercial retail portion.
Okay. And so just to verify with County Council that through the legal agreement that you're talking about, we are solid on requiring these conditions to be implemented off-site, off the commercial retail site.
It was a joint application.
That's all I needed to know. So we can condition the installation of a trail in the open space parcel. They're one of the applicants here. so trail and interpretive signage in there. I think that really substantiates the mitigation of the wetland, the wetland that's being destroyed by the development of the center.
Okay, all right. Is everybody in agreement with that?
I haven't heard any language. Or if I did, I forgot it.
Well,
the revised plan shall indicate the following in development. You jump down to D, habitat replacement and restoration of disturbed wetland areas with in-kind habitat consistent with the approval of condition 5, and installation of trail and interpretive signage. This continues D, trail and interpretive signage. Mm-hmm. Developed in consultation with the San Miguel Joint Union School and HROA, would be my proposal.
So that's a modification to 4D?
Correct.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
Staff does have two recommended revisions to Condition 2. This would be adding an F and a G, just for some clarification. 2 talks about the construction drawings being consistent with the sign plan. Staff suggests F to clarify the square footage of the sign plan. So to add F, a maximum of 515 square feet of signage on the project.
Say that number again.
It's the mountain.
Be 2F, a maximum of 515.
515.
Square feet of signage. And then G, just to clarify about the roofing material, that non-glare and non-reflective roof material.
But there's also a condition that does reference specifically the color and material.
Correct.
Board, right? I can't put...
Actually, condition 2 does.
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
How does that addition of the non-reflective roof material relate to 15N, which says use roof material which is solar reflective?
There's a difference between solar reflectivity and visual reflectivity.
Okay, so they aren't conflicting with you.
Yeah, okay. And then we have the additionals here presented by Public Works.
Right. Is that all the changes you want to make?
Does anyone else share my frustrations with all of the APCD ones in 15?
I could go on about what I get from the APCD, but I will. This is a public hearing, and I'll be quiet.
Okay.
I've mentioned it in private to many members of staff, and Mr. Nall has heard me on many occasions.
I have no other changes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And with that, I'm ready for a motion.
No, we're ready.
Discussion here. I move that we adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance to the applicable provisions of CEQA and the Public Resources Code and approve conditional use permit D02014D based on the findings listed in Exhibit A, the conditions listed in Exhibit B, and summarizing the changes that we have made. We have added a new 2F, which was discussed, the 550.
Thank you.